The Supreme Court of the State of Wisconsin is now in session. Your silence is commanded.
Please be seated. Good morning. Our first case is 03-2194, Tracy Osterhues versus the Board of Adjustment. Arguing on behalf of the Osterhues is Joseph, is it Sincotta or Kincotta? Sincotta. And we'll then hear from Attorney Michael Waterman, representing Washburn County, and Attorney William Poole, representing the Board of Adjustment for Washburn County. And then you get 5 minutes of rebuttal, counsel. You may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice. My name is Joe Sincotta. May it please the Court. I represent Art and Ellen Jacobs, Andrew and Luella Peterson, and Tracy and Damian Osterhues, three couples that live adjacent to a 40-acre piece of farmland in the town of Beaverbrook near Spooner. A number of years ago now, the Washburn County Highway Committee determined it needed to acquire this 40-acre parcel and develop a gravel pit there, a non-metallic mine in the parlance of DNR. The Osterhues folks, the three families, were aware of this and appeared at the Zoning Committee, the Washburn County Zoning Committee hearings. What needed to happen was the Highway Department needed to acquire a conditional use permit to allow for non-metallic mining, a gravel pit at that location. The zoning is agricultural. And the Washburn County ordinances do allow for a conditional use of gravel production within the agricultural zone. Primarily, Mrs. Osterhues, who displayed quite a bit of pluck in presenting her case on her own at the county, and the other folks appeared again at the zoning committee hearings and suggested that there's gravel elsewhere in the county, that this pit was really misplaced and didn't need to be constructed, and a variety of other issues, including the bias of some of the decision makers. Primarily, that it was, given the nature of the surrounding area of the town, which had become fairly residential and becoming more so, that it was really out of place, that as a conditional use, even under the standard of finding that a conditional use is appropriate in this area, it really went against the statutory standard, the broader standard, that you really shouldn't allow for conditional uses if they aren't in somewhat in harmony with the area. That was their primary argument. The Zoning Committee approved the conditional use permit. There was a rehearing, and they approved it again. And Ms. Osterhues then, on a pro se basis with the other families, appealed to the Board of Adjustment for Washburn County. And that hearing took place, I think, in January of 2002.
Now, at that hearing, and just to jump ahead, but
yeah,
that hearing, they took testimony, right? In other words, they at the Board of Adjustment, they took evidence was presented?
Not from our perspective, Justice Wilcox.
Didn't they take any testimony there?
Ms. Osterhues argued, and she had provided a written submission which contained facts and argument. There was no, they didn't have an attorney. They were not examined. The County Corporation Council examined the highway administrator regarding the nature of the hot mix facility or instrumentality that they planned to use there, and I think wanted to establish that was an accessory use because they anticipated using that in the gravel pit. So, from our view, this was not an evidentiary proceeding. Now, it was informal for sure, so I think that the Board of Adjustment members heard the positions of the Osterhueses with respect to some of the elemental facts as well as that they felt this was not a good idea. And I think that not a good idea is contemplated in the statute, in the ordinance, because is it compatible, is it in the public interest finally? That's what the Washburn County ordinances speak of in terms of whether the conditional use should be approved. But the primary issue that came up there was well, the threshold issue, which is what we're here today about, is what can the Board of Adjustment do? What do they do with that zoning committee decision and the record? She argued that under 694 sub 7 and 8, which are the primary statutes at issue here, that the Board of Adjustment had the power to essentially look at the record and, if it wanted to, hear testimony informally or formally presented and make a decision, essentially remake the decision. I mean, we're not going to hide from that. That's what we're seeking.
Well, what exactly are you seeking? I have some problems. One, it seems to me there are three, and maybe there are more alternatives. One, you might say that on appeal, the Board of Adjustment reviews the record made before the committee and can independently determine the facts and the legal principles and the decision. That's one alternative. Two, you can say that the Board of Adjustment has the power to look at the record made at the committee and take additional evidence in writing or testimonial. And on the basis of the paper record and that which is presented to it, makes anew a decision. Or three, you can argue that the Board of Adjustment has the power to take additional testimony and evidence, but has the discretion whether to do it. It's my understanding that the other side is going to say either it doesn't have the power, or two, it has the discretionary power and exercised its discretion in this case. So I would like both you and opposing counsels to tell the court what is your position as to the legal authority of the board.
Going from the third option.
And then the fourth option might be that the board has to just review this and take the facts as decided by the county, by the committee, and as a matter of law determine what happens. And I guess there's a fifth one that you can continue on, but let's just get the basic ones down.
What we believe is appropriate and what is called for by the ordinances and by the statutes and the ordinances and the rules in Washburn County, but let's separate the rules first, is that the board is empowered to review the record as it stands and to take new evidence and to make the ultimate factual determination. The nature of the proceeding, I think, is a function of the level of due process required in this somewhat informal tribunal. Due process is required, and we think that it's appropriate and necessary for the board to conduct, it's termed de novo, but I would call it substantive review, and to allow for testimonial evidence, further evidence to be put forward.
Is it required or is it discretionary?
I think it's required.
Okay.
It's required for a couple of reasons in this case, I believe.
What is required? It is required.
I believe they have to allow for the presentation of new evidence, and they then have to exercise their power to make define facts, as well as obviously review application of those facts to the standard.
And no partial. In other words, what my question was, they did take some testimony.
They heard some testimony.
Yeah.
I don't think they took it, but yeah, they heard.
They heard testimony.
Sure. Yeah, and I think that's appropriate. I think they can. We were sort of hamstrung because we didn't really, we tried to present it, but the decision ultimately was, well, that's nice, but we can't consider that. We can't find error, whatever that means, so we're gonna affirm the zoning committee. But the board is empowered to conduct a substantive review, which means when it comes to them, they should be prepared to take evidence and to allow for that and have procedures set up for it. Now, that gets into, in fact, what does exist in Washington County, which unfortunately was not a part of this at that level. That is, the rules and bylaws of Washington County were not sort of uppermost in really anybody's mind, it didn't seem to me, at the Board of Adjustment hearing. In our appendix, we've put the rules and bylaws in at pages 36 through 46, and under Section 6, and onto page 42 of the appendix, it allows for questions maybe asked, appropriate comments put into the case. The chairperson and board members may question the applicant and other persons to bring out relevant facts, circumstances, and conditions affecting the case, and may request questions from staff. All supporting evidence for and against each case shall be presented to the board. So the answer, Mr. Justice Anderson, is I think under the statutes, a county board or a municipality, the legislative body, could establish a board of adjustment and establish a regime of review. And I think it could include an on-the-record factual review, or it could include taking further testimony. I think I could see that being allowed for under the statute.
Then is your argument that the statute gives the board discretion or the county discretion to set up the board so it could take evidence or need not take evidence?
Yes, I think it does.
So it's county discretion.
County, the legislative body's discretion, yeah.
But if they don't take evidence,
further evidence,
then what is their standard of review vis-a-vis the committee's decision?
I think it's de novo in a sense. I think it's they review the record such as it is from the zoning committee. I think proponents and objectors are pushed to the zoning committee to get their evidence in, and then that evidence can be reviewed by the board and ultimate facts found by the board based on that record.
Is it your position that the Board of Adjustment always does a de novo review? It, however, has the discretion to determine the scope of the hearing, whether it wants to take new evidence or whether it wants to review the actions of the committee on the record before it. But whatever route it takes, it is de novo review always.
Yeah, and that's right. That's our position. I think that I want to just make one clarification. I think the legislative body of the municipality, in this case the county board, would establish that structure. The Board of Adjustment does not have discretion on a case-by-case basis to decide, we're taking evidence this time, we're not this time. I don't think that's allowed.
Mr. Sincata, if I could, because maybe I'm missing something and you can help me out here. Why can't you read 7A with paragraph 8 in 59694? If you look at 7A, the powers of the board to hear and decide appeals where it is alleged there is error in an order, requirement, decision, or determination. Then you go to sub 8, in exercising the powers under this section, the Board of Adjustment may, in conformity with the provisions of this section, reverse or affirm, wholly or partly, or may modify the order, requirement, decision, or determination. When I look at those two sections together, and based on my understanding of what an appeal is, can't these two sections be read together and construed to mean that the board looks first to see whether there's error? If there is no error, their job is done. If there is error, then they now have the discretion to go beyond that and take new evidence and hear new testimony and make whatever determination is appropriate.
Yeah. That's what's been argued, and the Court of Appeals seem to adopt that approach. I don't understand how it works, because I don't know how that body finds error. What is, I don't know, I guess that's what we're saying, is that in order to find error, you've got to conduct that review of something. And that record comes up, and you can take further evidence, or you can look at the paper record, and then you have to decide, well, what are we looking for here? Procedural errors? Errors in terms of they didn't apply these facts to the ordinance properly? The term error seems to be what's being interpreted here for us. And Section 8 seems to say it's any type of error, because you have such broad power to make the decision that ought to be made, and all the power from the appeal from officers. So,
but even if it's any type of error, don't you still have to have error first? And didn't the trial court in this case find there was no error?
The board found there's no error, but the definition of what error is the problem. I think you have to allege error as an appellant. And I think the appeal word gets in the way. This is a proceeding. It's a challenge proceeding of a decision by an agency. The zoning committee is an agency. It's not a legislative body. It's terminating, it's making an administrative decision on a conditional use permit. The nature of that permit is administrative in nature, adjudicative. And it goes up. A building inspector might grant a building permit, and you might challenge that. And the Board of Adjustment then gets a chance to do a more substantive review. The error is what's alleged by the challenger. I think all they have to do is allege error, and the error could be it's wrong. It doesn't fit the ordinances. And that more specifically could be it's out of harmony with our zoning plan. It's wrong. It's in error. I think that's all you need to allege. That's what Judge Rasmussen seemed to think made sense when he looked at it on initial review at the trial court level. And we had separated this claim out, this jurisdictional argument, and that's the only issue that Judge Rasmussen reviewed. And he understood that. He thought, well, given the powers that are provided in subsection 8, the broad powers, it doesn't really make sense, and for us this is our argument, that how could this board go in and find error first and then exercise these powers? It seems to me you have to, well, what are we doing here? They've alleged error. It could be they didn't provide notice or a procedural error. It could be also it doesn't fit in this area of the county. It just doesn't make sense under the ordinances. The Board of Adjustments should be able to look at both those alleged errors, and in doing so, review the record and the facts in the record, and or, depending on what's decided, take new evidence, and then decide.
That's the point I'm getting at, depending upon what's decided. In other words, if the board were to decide that there was an error here, then it would seem under paragraph 8 they'd have the authority to go beyond that and do whatever is necessary to try to decide their decision. But if they don't get to the point of deciding an error, in other words, if they don't see the error along the way, then why should they go any further?
Yeah, they can say, all right, we've taken a full review of your alleged errors, and we think it's fine. I think that's still a substantive decision. What happened here was they didn't even feel they could get into the case to see if there was error. They were told, no, you can't really look at it at the record and decide on your own what you think is best under the ordinance. That is, you can't decide if there's error substantively. You kind of have to find out whatever error is, which wasn't really defined at the Board of Adjustment proceeding. Later on in the appellate briefs, the Court of Appeals briefs, there was suggestion that it was, in the trial court, there was such a procedural error that the Board of Adjustment could look at it for, you know, notice, lack of notice or other things.
But that was why I asked the question, because finding of fact number 12 in the Washburn County Board of Adjustment on page 17 of your appendix says the committee acted within its scope of authority and under the zoning code and did not commit error. That's one of the findings here.
So that's true. I think that the written findings are that they didn't find error procedurally. They didn't find an error that was of the nature that they thought they could review. They didn't feel they could review. I mean, Mr. Weiss, one of the board members, even says, I've been looking for error all night, but I've been told I can't. In other words, I can't look at whether this is a good idea or not. And that's what we're arguing, is that the board has that kind of power to look at the substantive nature of the requested permit and look at it if that's error. I think what this is saying is it found no procedural error, which is what then the Board of Adjustment Council and have argued subsequent to that they didn't find any procedural error. So,
Counselor, looking at procedural error, doesn't the Board of Adjustment have to follow its own bylaws once they've been enacted?
I've been here before on that issue, actually, and yes, I think they certainly do.
They didn't follow them in this particular case, did they?
No, I don't believe they did. They didn't receive.
Was that argued at the Court of Appeals, and was that a losing argument or something? Because I didn't notice any addressing of that.
Well, I think it hasn't. It's not an issue that's been. I think to the extent they're not following their rules, it's implicit in the primary argument we're making here, which is that they had the power to look at the substance of the zoning committee's decision. So that's the primary issue we're arguing. As far as the following the procedures at the Board of Adjustment hearing, that issue has not been raised specifically.
Okay.
But it supports the idea that Washburn County contemplates that its own Board of Adjustment should be sort of an evidentiary body. They should take evidentiary evidence and make a factual finding.
So if we would agree with you and send it back down, you would expect us to send it back down with directions that they follow their own bylaws?
Yeah, that would be sufficient for us. I think we then could go on. I think with the meaning that the Board of Adjustment is empowered to look at the facts and take evidence as per their own rules and bylaws, and then make the decision that ought to be made under the statutes and the ordinances and the rules and bylaws, which all are the same ought-to-be-made language. Mm-hmm. That language, is not this sort of apply a remedy after finding error. That language is if you find error, then you can make this decision you need to make. But it also means that in doing so, you need to look at the entire decision, not just if there was a failure of providing notice, but whether this conditional use permit should be granted at all.
Counsel, you focused on the definition of error, as did the trial court in this case. However, the Court of Appeals focused on a different word in the statute, 7A, and that is on the word appeal. And your opposing counsel spends the bulk of the brief on how do you define the word appeal. Two questions. Number one, how do you define it? And number two, how does the county's own rules define it?
The county's rules, I don't think, define it, that I know of.
045, section 11, sub 2, defines appeal. And it defines appeal in this fashion. That's on 045 of your appendix, citing section 11 definitions.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Complaint.
How do they define it?
Pardon?
How do they define it?
Complaint of an injustice done or error committed in which both the facts and the law are reviewed. So, again, I'm finding help for my case even now. This is
Well, that's why I'm pointing it out to you, because not that I want to help you with your case, but it seems to me that the definition of an appeal is, by their rules, broader than the Court of Appeals indicates, because the Court of Appeals, and they argue that the definition of appeal is just, it has to be an error first.
Yeah.
And yet, by their own rules, they say an appeal is a complaint of injustice, which I interpret as meaning, hey, this isn't fair, or in the disjunctive.
Mm-hmm.
Error committed in which both the facts and the law are reviewed. So, assuming I'm correct, assuming in their own rules the definition of appeal is broader than that found by the Court of Appeals, and broader, this definition comes from Black's Law Dictionary, and they do argue Black's Law Dictionary in their brief. But assuming that, what moment is it that their definition of appeal and their own rules may be broader than the Court of Appeals defining the statute? Is there an inconsistency? Or, again, what moment do we give to their definition of appeal and their own rules?
Well, I think it's consistent with our view that the statute empowers the county legislative body to do exactly this, to define what the appeal could be. And because it certainly, in fact, it must do this. Seems to me that the appeal, because of the nature of the statute, must include this kind of review. So these rules are consistent with the statutory regime, although they haven't been addressed in this case for, unfortunately, for other reasons.
I'm not sure I agree with that, and let me tell you why. What my concern is, are you suggesting to me that by way of county ordinance, the ordinance interprets the word appeal? I mean, doesn't the legislature put this word in? Isn't our job to discern? Isn't our job to interpret what that word means? And shouldn't that word mean the same thing for all jurisdictions in the state, since we're interpreting a state statute? And we say, hey, you can't define a state statute in your ordinance? Help me with that.
I think you're right. I think that the word appeal is not limited in the state statute. It must be applied the same throughout the state, and that means as they define it in Washburn County. So the argument, I think I've answered that, this, and what your question was, you know, they can't trump the statute. Yeah, but they're not. They're doing what the statute requires, is what I guess I'm saying.
Now,
and the word appeal should not stop us. I think some of the cases they cite, it is a generic in some ways. It's a challenge to a higher tribunal of something. So in this case, given the language in subsection 8 and the nature of that review provision in 59.694, appeal is a challenge by a proponent who gets denied or perhaps an objector, a third-party objector, and it's a proceeding at the Board of Adjustment. It's a more formal proceeding that the Board of Adjustment gets another crack at whether this was a good decision or not. The rules as put in by Washburn County, I think, are consistent with the statute, and they must be put in that way because I think the statute requires that kind of appeal, facts and law.
Now, these rules and bylaws were adopted by the County Board of Adjustments, not by the County Board. Is that right?
That's right. I think the signatures are of the Board of Adjustment members.
And it says that in the first part of this. So, and then pursuant to 5999, right?
Correct.
Does it matter that it's the County Board versus the County Board of Adjustment that adopted these rules?
It could, although it doesn't in this case because the ordinances empower the Board as per the statutes, and the statutes do allow the Board of Adjustment to create its own rules and bylaws.
And the County Board does that, allows these rules?
The County Board, under the ordinance, I believe, the County Board sets up the Board of Adjustment and allows it to, I'll get to my appendix.
Yeah, it's in 301, okay. Section 301.
Yeah.
All right.
My time is up.
Thank you, Counsel. You have 5 minutes in rebuttal. Mr. Waterman, representing the county.
Please, the court. My name is Michael Waterman. I'm here representing Washburn County in its capacity as the landowner. I would also like to introduce Edwin Fisher, who is the Corporation Counsel for Washburn County. I believe that the issue we have on appeal is more limited. And I believe that we need to refer back to what was actually requested of the Board of Adjustment on January 9, 2002, and what was decided. The issue that I believe that we are faced with today is whether on appeal from the Zoning Committee, whether the Washburn County Board of Adjustment needs to essentially rehear and re-decide the decision of the County Zoning Committee.
Excuse me, Counsel, you're representing the Board or the County?
The County itself.
Okay, thank you.
And as my reference point, I look back to Tracy Osterhues in her arguments to the Board of Adjustment. What she asked the Board to do was this, quote, I want this Board of Adjustment to hear this case all over again and decide for itself. Moments later, she continues on, that's what I'm asking, that you take jurisdiction and decide this case on your own merits. I don't believe this is a question about standards of review or the levels of deference that the Board of Adjustment needs to give to the Zoning Committee. I believe what the petitioners have asked the Board of Adjustment to do in this case was to essentially conduct a do-over.
Mr. Waterman, if I could, because you kind of stopped short of where that discussion went, and I have some concerns about some of the other requests. Didn't one of the board members ask counsel for the board, if there is an error, then can we hear the case? And the counsel for the board responded, no, you return it to the zoning committee with orders to them to hear the case or to follow your instructions, and there was further discussion along that line?
That is correct. Correct.
Isn't that incorrect based on the statute?
I think if we were to redo that advice, I think that, and it wasn't my advice, unfortunately, but these things do come up on spur of the moments, and I think that a complete picture of what the statute would say is that you can either reverse or affirm, or you can make the decision that needs to be made. However, I don't think that's a...
It goes beyond that. It says, if I can read this, and to that end shall have all the powers of the officer from whom the appeal is taken.
Correct. Correct. But I don't think that that is a basis for reversal for one reason, and that is in order to get to that point in subsection 8 of the statute, you first have to have that error. I think it's a two-step process. Number one is you identify whether there's been an error in the zoning committee's decision. If yes, proceed to step 2, which is sub 8. Fashions where it describes the remedies that may be provided or the orders.
Well, and to decide if there's an error, don't you have to have a standard of review?
Yes. But, you know, in this case, the creature that we're dealing with is a board of adjustment. And by their very nature, they're very informal.
Well, the creature we're dealing with on review, you're reviewing the zoning committee.
What standard would the Board of Adjustment apply?
Yeah, that's what you're saying. To find an error, you've got to look at the zoning committee, right?
Exactly.
So how do you find an error? You can say there's an erroneous finding of fact. Can you just review the facts de novo and say we don't agree with the credibility, we don't agree with whatever, the expert testimony? Or is the Board of Adjustment bound by the finding of facts and look anew at the law? Or is it bound by law and facts and decision? I mean, how are you going to find an error? You've got to know that. Where are we looking for an error?
Well, to answer that, I think there's 2 points. Number one, the Board of Adjustment was not presented with that issue. The advice that counsel gave was you must first find an error. And the board did not subject itself to any limitations. It could be an error in procedure, could be an error in substance, could be an error in equity.
That's the way you define error? Procedure, substance, or equity?
I don't think that there was any limits placed on error. I think if the Board of Adjustment were to review a case looking for error, that is their job.
Okay. And that's the way you see the word error as set forth in the statute, procedure, substance, or equity.
Any error. And those are the ones I can think of. I think that is all-encompassing. But I don't think that there's any limits on what an error would be.
Right.
And I would concede that if the Board of Adjustment were to look at this case and say, this conditional use permit simply doesn't make sense. It's bad public policy, whatever. That would be an error. But the Board didn't do that. The Board examined the record. The Board examined the decision of the Zoning Committee and determined that there was no error.
Okay, you said the first step was error. Now we define error. What's the second step?
Second step is to fashion the appropriate order. That's sub 8.
Fashion order if you found an error.
Right. Well, I suppose because part of sub 8 includes affirming.
That's right. Sorry. Fashion order, whichever way you go.
Right.
All right.
But I believe it's very helpful to look at the language used in sub 8 because what I believe the Osterhues were asking for, and I use the term Osterhues as the collective group of petitioners, they wanted to have a do-over. They wanted to represent the entire case. They wanted the Board of Adjustment to redo the work of the Zoning Committee, apply the zoning factors, apply the evidence, do all the work all over again, rather than saying, here's my complaint, here's a grievance that we have, here's where we believe that there has been error.
Well, suppose they think it's bad public policy, so now we've got an error. Can they take more testimony? Or suppose they say, this record isn't sufficient. The error is the record is not adequate for us to make up our minds. And we want to hear more.
Certainly.
They are authorized to take testimony.
They're certainly authorized in the rules to take testimony, I believe.
What about under the statute?
I believe they are authorized to take evidence under the statute as well.
Okay.
I think from a practical standpoint, the Board of Adjustment has two roles, depending on how the county structures it. They've got an appellate function where they review decisions that come up from lower bodies. Then they have an original jurisdiction function where they are the first line of presentation, let's say. That's where the parties go first, it's to the Board of Adjustment. In Washburn County, applicants on a variance go directly to the Board of Adjustment. So they've got original jurisdiction. With conditional use permits, the county has decided that it's better to delegate that decision-making authority to the Zoning Committee. And that puts the Board of Adjustment squarely in an appellate review function, where they're not redeciding everything, redoing the work. They are reviewing what has already been decided, forever.
What is this? I'm sorry, please.
So you're saying then really the county, and I suppose every county, can define what the powers of the Board of Adjustment are. Is that right?
I believe so, yes, under sub 1 of the statute.
Is the county required to have a Board of Adjustment?
I don't believe so.
So it's really up to the county exactly what the Board of Adjustment is.
Correct.
And would you say then that if there's a variance, that the procedure of the Board of Adjustment could be completely different from the procedure for an appeal?
It could be. I don't think in this case, well, let me back up. I believe it could be in the sense that the roles would be different. Whereas when it is appealed from, or when a decision's already been made by the zoning committee, the Board of Adjustment is sitting in an appellate review function. It has a different hat on. Yet where it has a variance, then it's not reviewing anything because no decisions have been made.
Is there anything in the statute that prevents a Board of Adjustment from having a de novo review of a conditional use permit?
De novo review in the sense that they're not giving the board of, or the zoning committee any deference, like an appellate standard review? I don't believe so. I don't believe there's anything that prevents that.
What about?
There's nothing that prevents them from doing it.
Nothing prevents it, nothing authorizes it. I believe it's silent.
Well, that's as to deference to the committee. What
right.
about the concept of a new trial, taking new evidence? Is there anything in the statute to prevent that?
I believe so. I believe, well, first 7A,
all right.
It talks in terms of error. And also, you know, we have sub 8, talks about affirming, reversing, modifying. If it were to conduct a brand new trial, it wouldn't have to affirm. It wouldn't have to reverse or modify because with a new trial, the slate's been wiped clean.
Well, doesn't that read out the section that says, and shall have all the powers of the officer from whom the appeal is taken? You're eliminating that section with that argument.
I don't believe so, because I believe if the Board of Adjustment wants to make a modification, instead of sending it back to the committee with instructions to say, instead of 35 days of gravel crushing, you only get 30, instead of remanding it back to the zoning committee to make that small modification, the Board of Adjustment could simply make that as part of its order and assume that responsibility and just say, here's the new conditions. I see my time has expired.
Just as a question.
Are you familiar with Brookside case versus Jefferson Board that the chief wrote a number of years ago?
Not by title. I might, if I heard the facts, I might remember it.
A case where a county zoning committee was asked to approve conditional use permits for some chicken building. There was a chicken farm, and it was a question of substantially expanding the number of chickens in various different buildings. The zoning committee said, yes, the Board of Adjustment substantially reduced that. And I'm reading from the opinion, the board conducted the appeal as a contested case hearing and ordered the parties to present their cases as if the appeals were de novo proceedings. Anything illegal about what they did?
Anything illegal?
Considering the statute?
Under the statute, I would argue that you would first have to find error, do the one-step, two-step process. But I believe in our situation, it's going to be slightly different because we have a county ordinance that has set things up differently. The county ordinance structures this as an appellate body with review powers. And we were talking about the rules earlier. One of those rules requires the appellants to specify or list their claims of error, their grievances. And then beneath that, it says that the Board of Adjustment then has the power to disregard any appeal that doesn't comply with the written standards, with the written format. In other words, if you don't list your grievances in your notice of appeal to the Board of Adjustment, the Board of Adjustment doesn't have to consider it by their own rules.
Yeah, but isn't the grievance that the zoning committee didn't get it right? They disagree with the end result. That's the error. And you said that on the error, which is the first step, it's all-encompassing, procedures, substance, equity, public policy. And then I think you said that if there's an error, then they can take more testimony. There's nothing the matter with that, right?
I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Okay. That, all right.
So when we're talking about taking more testimony, deals with the, if you will, the scope of the hearing, the nature of the hearing. I want to get back to the standard of review, and I'm not quite clear what your answer is. Now, let me ask the question in a few ways. Number one, is the Board of Adjustment using a standard of review that is de novo always? Is it required that the Board of Adjustment use a de novo standard of review rather than deference? Is that your question?
Rather than deference to the committee.
There is nothing in Washburn County rules or the bylaws or the ordinances that specify that. I don't believe there's anything in the statute. But let me say this. When you're dealing with an informal body like the Board of Adjustment, they're lay people, they're not trained in the law, I think there are going to be some practical difficulties if we impose upon them standards of deference, standards of review. Because I think that's a term of art. It's a thing that lawyers use. It's not something that lay citizens use.
Your point of view, you're not a member, so your point of view, I'll impose it on you since you're a lawyer. Your answer to my question is the Board of Adjustment is not required under statute, ordinance, or rule to use a de novo review. Is that your answer? Did I get it right? And then I have a follow-up question.
Correct.
Okay. Are they allowed to do a de novo review?
Certainly.
Thus, they are not prohibited from doing a de novo review.
Correct. De novo review. I think there's a distinction. I think in the briefs we've gotten lost between de novo review and a de novo trial.
Yes, that's right. And so de novo review, de novo is defined in one of the briefs, looking at afresh.
Looking at a fresh look
at the law and facts.
Everything.
That's right.
Exactly.
And so it's your position that they can do a de novo review. The Board of Adjustment can do a de novo review.
My position
but they're
can.
Not required to do a de novo review.
It's my position that they certainly can. There's nothing that requires it. I think, practically speaking, that's what they do or should do. But that doesn't mean that they have to redo all of the work, conduct a new trial. There's a review of what was already decided, looking for error, and then there's a brand new trial where everything's back on the table.
I'm sorry for taking this a bit of time, but it seems to me that the argument is a bit circuitous. You have defined error as, hey, they made a, including as, hey, they made a bad decision. They shouldn't have allowed this with all these residences then, okay? That's, your definition of error is fact, law, equity. You know, it's not fair to have all this noise, okay? How can they how do they make that determination on fairness?
Well, I think they need to
without taking testimony. Hmm? And listening.
That's a fundamental disagreement I have with the petitioner's argument in this case, that they were somehow prohibited or denied the right to have their day before the Board of Adjustment. They took literally more than 2 hours listening to this case. Every citizen who wanted to speak spoke. I believe that Tracy Osterhues was essentially the spokesperson for the entire group. Spoke for at least over an hour, identifying every.
So, is it your position that the board did consider error first, made a determination that there was no error, and ergo did not proceed further when requested by Osterhaus? I mean,
exactly. And I think, and there's one important distinction to make, and that is at the Board of Adjustment level, the Osterhues were making, as predominant part of their case, things that the Board of Adjustment doesn't have the power to do, namely nuisance, damages, diminution in value.
Conflict of interest.
Conflict of interest. That may have been a procedural error that could have been raised. And the last one was condemnation. They thought that this was a condemnation of the property and they wanted compensation. Those are things that the Board of Adjustment simply cannot consider. And I would submit to this Court that if the Board of Adjustment was somehow confused or didn't decide it the way the Osterhues had wanted to, it is more to do with the way that the case was presented to the Board of Adjustment. They had identified 10 separate grievances, separate errors of or claims of error. 9 of those involved either procedural errors or things that the Board of Adjustment simply cannot decide. Only one of them, I believe it was number 4, addressed anything concerning fairness, and all those fairness issues dealt with circuitously things like diminution in value of their property. So if there was some inequity or some unfairness that they were asking the Board of Adjustment to find error in, it wasn't presented in that way to the Board of Adjustment.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Counsel. Mr. Thiel, you represent the Board of Adjustment.
That is correct, Chief Justice. And again, my name is William Thiel. I think as the debate or discussion has ensued this morning, the focus has been upon the hierarchy between the state, the county, the Board of Adjustments, and as Justice Butler indicated, related to the definition of error and appeal. I would like to, if I might, take a further quote of myself that is inserted in Mr. Sincotta's brief, found at page 10, in which I state further beyond the quote that Justice Butler indicated that that's correct. That does not allow this board to hear the case on a de novo basis. It doesn't have the ability to have all of the evidence brought to court. It can reverse. It can remand to the lower body for further proceedings, or it can affirm or can do any of those things, but it can't hear the case anew, which is what you're requesting it to do. My position on this simply is that, indeed, the Board of Adjustment does have the power to decide the case consistent with the last phrase in sub 8 of 59.694, which states, and quote, to that end, shall have all the powers of the officer from whom the appeal is taken, end of quote. And in that manner can enforce a decision which it makes. On the other hand, if the factual record is wholly deficient, if it does not lend itself to a review of error from the vantage point of either substance or procedure, I believe that the Board of Adjustment can remand the decision back to the County Zoning Committee for decision consistent with the language in sub 8 of the statute. I believe further that with regard to the concept of...
Let me stop you right there. Because I'm having trouble with that interpretation. When it says, to that end shall have all the powers of the officer from whom the appeal is taken, doesn't that include the power to hear evidence, which is what that officer would have the ability to do?
Justice, I would respectfully disagree. I think that sub 7 of the statute, which is entitled Powers of the Board, and I realize that titles to statutes and subsections do not control, but nonetheless they are persuasive as to the intent of the legislature, states that the court, or I should say that the Board of Adjustment, shall hear and decide appeals. I think, again, shall hear and decide appeals where it is alleged there is error. I think that that controls sub 8, and that sub 8 and the specific language in question relates back to the antecedent phrase that it may reverse or affirm wholly or partly or may modify the order requirement decision or determination appealed from and may make the order requirement decision or determination as ought to be made and to that end shall have all the powers of the officer from whom the appeal is taken.
But doesn't the word determination mean more than just an order or requirement or a decision? Doesn't determination encompass much broader than that and encompass the process?
In the context of the phrase, I would submit not. It says make the order, requirement, decision, or determination. It's part of a series of powers entrusted to the Board of Adjustment rather than overriding ability to, in effect, countermand limitations under sub 7A, which limits it to an appeal relative to error that is addressed to the Board.
Just so I understand this,
Where precisely do you differ from the county? We've heard from Washburn County and their interpretation of the statutes, their interpretation of the board's bylaws and rules. Let me tell you what difference I hear. You can tell me if it's right and any other differences. My understanding from the county, that the Board of Adjustment has the power, once it finds error, which is very broad, it can take new testimony, can take new evidence, and can make a decision. What I hear from you is cannot take new testimony, cannot take new evidence. If they think there has been a difficulty, problem, error, or what have you, the board remands it back to the committee. Do I have it right?
Essentially, Chief Justice, my position...
Essentially is not good enough. Where am I wrong?
If I might amplify, I believe that contrary to Mr. Waterman's statement that brought in the word de novo, I think that it is purely a review, and that within the context of the review, if the record is deficient, it can be remanded to the County Zoning Committee for further decision-making.
Can the board take testimony if the record is deficient? Can they take more paper? Can they take more evidence?
I can answer that question, Chief Justice, is that you had asked Mr. Waterman what the standard of review is for the Board of Adjustment, and it is not stated in the statutes, nor is it clearly defined in case law to date. By analogy, I would cite Clary versus Oneida County with regard to certiorari decision-making of circuit courts, to the effect that if there is an error in jurisdiction, an error in law, the decision was arbitrary or capricious, or there was not substantial evidence, that is the type of criteria involved in the decision-making of the board. In answer to your question, I'm sorry.
No, I want you to answer my question.
In answer to your question, I do not believe that they take testimony unless it is pronounced to them that there is a deficiency in the record below and they make a preliminary determination in light of the certiorari standards that, yes, we will take further testimony. I think that otherwise they remand it back to the County Zoning Committee for further decision-making. Oh,
Counsel, so this will be my third time.
Yes.
So that's what happened here. In other words, they took some evidence. And is that the position you're taking? In other words, if you're saying that they don't have the they don't have a de novo, yet they took, as I read the record, and has been stated here, there were over 2 hours of testimony. At least the Osterhauses at least stated their regrets with what the zoning board did, and a commissioner or the testified as far as the hot mix.
Yes.
So what about that?
Well,
under just what you said, what about that?
Well, in retrospect, probably that testimony shouldn't have been taken. However, the board did in its conclusions at sub 10 on page 17 of Mr. Sincotta's appendix state the permit being silent as the issue of asphalt plant operation, the board concludes that it is not an issue before for correction, for the permit is limited to gravel pit operation only. It was not contemplated in that fashion as a part of the ultimate order. They did not consider it as being relevant to the appeal that was before them.
Counsel, one of the things that concerns me is that our statute is based on a model rule. It is close to verbatim of the model rule. In the appendix of your opposing counsel, there is the treatise of 1997 by Mr. Anderson, and that indicates that in interpreting the model rule, language is set forth, same as ours, that there is de novo review by the board of a lower committee. Specifically, I'm referring to Appendix 050 in the red appendix, and it indicates thusly, a board of adjustment commonly has jurisdiction to hear and decide appeals where it is alleged there is an error in an order, requirement, decision, or determination made by an administrative official in the enforcement of a zoning ordinance or statute. Such an appeal involves a de novo hearing with cites. And my with cites to other jurisdictions that have interpreted it. So my concern is, shouldn't we be, since this is a model rule, why should we be deviating from the treatise or the other jurisdictions cited in the treatise in interpreting the model rule?
If I might have a two-part answer to that, Justice Bradley. First of all, as has been argued in my brief, I believe that the language of the statute is plain, clear, and unambiguous, and therefore, generally, the rule of this Court in its previous decisions is you don't look beyond the language of the statute to other legislative history. My second part of that answer is that if you follow through with the page that you cited from the appendix, pages 50 to 51, immediately following the quote that you have just rendered, it states, a Board of Adjustment has jurisdiction to hear an appeal from a planning board. The jurisdiction vested in the board by this kind of provision is appellate, not original. And the case cited by Mr. Anderson in his treatise for that principle is Board of Zoning Appeals versus of City of Plymouth versus Heidi, an Indiana case at 310 Northeast 2nd, 908.
Two things, counsel. First of all, can you point again where you're reading from?
I'm sorry. At the appendix of Mr. Sincotta, pages 50 to 51.
Yes.
Right at the top in the text. Mm-hmm. After you had quoted
right, session. Right margin, right side margin. Mm-hmm. That.
Yes, I'm
power.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
In the Heidi case, the court in Indiana held that the Board of Adjustment or Appeals in that case, under similar language to our statute, did not have original jurisdiction and only had appellate jurisdiction. My position here would be that, consistent with 59.694 sub 1, Washburn County exercised its discretion to delegate to its zoning committee the authority to issue or deny the issuance of conditional use permits. Thereafter, and consistent with its further rules in the Washburn County Zoning Code at Section 300 et al., it states that the Board of Adjustment shall hear appeals from those decisions.
And how do they define the word appeal? I think it's broader than the Court of Appeals would have defined it, as I understand it.
I believe that that definition came from the Zoning Board of Adjustment rules, if I might, Justice Bradley. But beyond that, even assuming that it were as you've just posited it, I think that the word appeal in the state statute is the trump card, because the state statutes control the delegation of authority first to the county on a police power basis, and then what power the county can in turn redelegate to a subordinate body, or in this case, administrative body, i.e., the Board of Adjustment.
Mr. Thiel, does the Washburn County Board of Adjustment hear evidence and variance cases?
Yes, I believe that it does. I do not represent Washburn County on a regular basis, but I am operating under the presumption that it does hear evidence and variance cases.
Okay, and that would that be under 59.694 sub 7C?
I believe so, Justice Prosser.
To authorize upon appeal in specific cases variances from the terms of the ordinance?
That is what it states, yes, Justice Prosser.
What does appeal mean there?
Well, under the circumstances, I have to parse the word. And that being, and I recognize that in advance of approaching this court on this argument. I think that one has to look in that instance to who has original jurisdiction over variances. According to the Washburn County Zoning Code, the Washburn County Board of Adjustment does. Therefore, to the extent that the legislature has used the word appeal in that situation, it can only be connoted as including the power of original jurisdiction. But again, on the other hand, because under 59.694 sub 1, the original jurisdiction to hear and decide special exceptions or conditional uses in Washburn County is delegated to the zoning committee. Therefore, under 7A, the generic form of appeal must be utilized in that situation.
Mr. Thiel, if I could ask just one last question here. If I made the statement, boards of adjustment in Wisconsin regularly take evidence in appeal matters, would you just attack that as untrue?
I would not disagree. I think Justice Prosser, you're correct that that does occur. But I think that the issue here, and that's why all three of these parties are before the court today, and the reason for the court accepting this case is that zoning matters are becoming of greater importance. There's certainly a great deal more interest in terms of the complexity of our interrelationships and the types of uses that are being made of land that compete with one another. And I think that this is a process of further refining and defining what the powers of boards of adjustment are under the circumstances of the language used by the legislature, specifically at 59.694.
One of the issues I have is that under 59.694.4, appeals to the department, to the Board of Adjustment, may be taken by any person aggrieved, which might mean somebody who did not appear before the zoning committee. It might even be someone officer who hasn't appeared. And yet your interpretation would stop that person from introducing new evidence.
That is correct. I think that they do.
And contrary to the statutes?
No, I don't believe so.
Underlying policy?
I believe that the statute calls for an appeal, as it is generically defined, and that person has the ability. In fact, the State SRL Brookside case said you don't have to appear before the zoning committee. You can still take an appeal.
Sure.
And I think that as long as you formulate factual or legal grounds, you have that ability. If I might add one thing, I think that another reason why this case should be decided in deference to the arguments of myself and co-counsel is that anyone who is aggrieved may take an appeal up to the Board of Adjustment. And if that appeal takes the form of a substantive hearing, what rules and regulations guide or govern the proceeding before the board? If it's a de novo hearing, in effect, aren't you hearing from a person who is not the applicant a negative approach, and therefore does the applicant then have a negative burden to, in effect, disprove and show that indeed he or she is entitled to a permit? It strikes me that absent a panoply of rules and regulations pronounced by the state legislature, the assessment is wandering in the dark without a candle.
Well, one of the other arguments that appears somewhere in the brief is that people learn that the zoning committee will or will not approve particular kinds of conditional uses. And therefore, when they go in, they don't put in very much if they think it falls within prior precedent. Then they get to the Board of Adjustment on an appeal, and their record's not very good. And doesn't this force, then, every applicant to have a very full hearing before the committee, lest there be an appeal and that the record isn't any good?
Yes, indeed. I think the Weber versus Town of Saukville case emphasizes the fact that both in terms of preliminary material to be provided as well as the presentation before the zoning committee, that the applicant should prove, pursuant to the burden of persuasion, his or her case in order to potentially protect him or herself. And I think in that sense, once again, since Washburn County has delegated the authority, the primary authority, for original decision-making to the zoning committee, it behooves the applicant that he or she prove his case at that level.
But, counsel, that seems to be contradictory to the Brookside case that Justice Prosser referenced earlier, because the Brookside case says, as I understand it, that an aggrieved person can take an appeal, and the aggrieved person need not have appeared at the committee hearing. So you're talking about the importance that the applicant, that's your meaning, the aggrieved person, that is, I think you're meaning the aggrieved
person. No, I do not.
You're meaning
the applicant person for the applies for the
okay,
permit.
Okay. But how does that help the aggrieved person? The aggrieved person who does not, and under our case law, did not, and under our case law, does not have to appear at the committee hearing and yet can still appeal. How is that aggrieved person to voice their concern if they can't make anything other than here's my written appeal that sets forth my problem?
Well, I think this whole area is rather loosely guided. Again, the reference in the statute is to persons aggrieved, not parties. We don't have a formalized party hearing process, whether before the zoning committee or the Board of Adjustment. And I think, similarly, it behooves that someone who feels that he or she will be aggrieved by a decision to potentially appear produce testimony at the original zoning committee process.
One of the and I agree with you, it's probably loose, and so...
I'm sorry, my time is up.
If I may
respond.
Thank you, Chief. Are you familiar with the zoning board handbook that is put out by the Land Use Center Education? It's my understanding that most board members get a copy of this.
I have read it in the past.
There's some reference in it, to it in the record also. And I think that, one of the reasons for this handbook, this one is of rather recent vintage, a couple years old, is to formalize the procedures for all these boards of adjustments around the state. And it gives not only the checklist, what they're supposed to do step by step, but gives them the script. it says, you should read this. And so the script for the board of adjustment to be read at the beginning of the hearing, either by the chair or the secretary, is set forth on page 12 of my edition of this. And that script to be read aloud indicates that the role of the board, and it gives the sequence of events, what's going to happen. And it says, the board functions like a court. This is what they're supposed to read to the people in attendance. The board functions like a court. Its purpose is to give a full and fair hearing to any person whose property interests are affected by these matters. Is that wrong?
No, it is not wrong. But I think, once again, referencing 59.694 sub 7, it is an appeal based on error. So a person who is aggrieved presents a list, as the Washburn County Code requires, of error in the underlying decision as to fact or law, and it is upon that basis that they then get their full and fair hearing. Thank you.
Just one moment, counsel. There's a letter in the appendix from the Boardman Law Firm that says that the usual practice of boards of adjustment is to take testimony or evidence de novo. I may be overstating it somewhat, but that's essentially what I got out of it. Do you agree with that, disagree with that, or can you not comment?
Well, oftentimes,
it says many boards of adjustment regularly connect de novo review, and that I read that as de novo hearings. Go ahead.
Oftentimes, what is the usual practice may not be in conformity with the law, and we are.
I agree with that, but I want to know is this the usual practice according to your understanding, or maybe you don't know.
I can say anecdotally, based upon my experience in zoning practice, that it does occur. Yes.
Does.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Sincotta, You have 5 minutes in rebuttal.
Thank you. Picking up on what Justice Prosser raised regarding variances, I'd like to start there. And I guess the point being, boards of adjustment, I'll even step back further, is there a concern that these folks, good citizens out there who aren't lawyers, can handle this? They can. The rules for Washburn County are helpful, and those we haven't perhaps dealt with quite directly enough in this case, but certainly they do this in variances. They take facts, and they figure out the facts, and they apply them to the law. So they can do that on an appeal or a challenge to a different type of decision. So they can do that. The rules are set out to allow them to do that, and the statute requires them to make that substantive decision. The other point I wanted to make was one of this sort of notion of a do-over. Really what was happening is the zoning committee has its process, whatever that might be, and the Board of Adjustment is really more of the first time that there's a formal chance to present things under a set of rules to challenge the substantive decision. So it really wasn't a do-over. It was the first time. And in fact, a number of the errors that were raised by Osterhues were directly related to the scope of the grant of the conditional use permit, whether it was compatible with the area and the like. So they weren't just seeking the takings claim or anything else. I mean, their appeal argument is sort of broad and a bit rambling, but it does directly say that the error we're alleging basically is that this doesn't fit here and it doesn't comply with your ordinances.
It doesn't comply, a permit for conditional use?
It does not. Yeah, it does not. It should not be granted a conditional use because the facts in this matter do not make this proposed use compatible with the public interest or in harmony with the surrounding area, which are two of the primary standards under the ordinance. And in that light, this idea that it happened, it's fine, they listened for 2 hours, and so, you know, the board made the decision that you're asking to make primarily, right? No, I don't think so. Mr. Weiss, I hate to agree. I mean, I've been looking all night to find error. I would like to find error. If I was able to vote on this, if I was in the zoning committee, I would have voted no for sure. But I'm not. In our capacity here, I don't have the power to do that, apparently. So, you know, as far as a motion goes, I have to agree with it half-heartedly. But legally, I have to agree with it. I would suggest you pursue this, though. See, to me, this then the later coming on findings of fact and conclusions of law that are saying we didn't find error, it's clear what they didn't find was a procedural error, the type of error that he felt he could look for. What they were able to do is do what I think that the statute allows them to do, exercise all these powers, the same powers as the zoning committee, and decide if this is compatible with the ordinance.
Can they look at the record in the zoning committee, say, I don't want to hear again from the people who already testified, and I'll just take new evidence? Is that within their power?
Under the statute, I would think it would not be. I think they would have
to insist a totally new procedure and not look at the record in the zoning committee. Is that what you're asking the board to say?
No, it's a function of what the county, what they set out in their rules. That is the Board of Adjustment to the type of procedure they're going to take. So if you've had a chance at the zoning committee as a proponent and you've won or you've gotten your permit, and then it gets challenged by a third-party intervener, I think that intervener has to be provided. Well, it depends on what the rules allow. If the rules say in that type of situation, we're going to hear testimony from both, and I think these rules do, then that's what would have to happen. I think the rules could also say, you've had your chance, and this objector is bringing in these other facts, and so you can counter those. You can, you know, on rebuttal, you can, or redirect, you can deal with those, but you can't present new stuff that you already presented at the zoning committee. The rules could do that. I think in this case in Washburn County, the rules are more open, and they allow for a...
Am I correct in restating your position to say that under paragraph 8, it's your belief that the Board of Adjustment Appeals has the power to disagree with the finding below without finding error? Is that your position?
No. If they disagree with the finding below, they are finding error by definition. I think that the error is that the zoning committee was wrong. We disagree with them. We think they were in error. in applying the facts to the standard that's out, set out in the ordinances to grant conditional use permits.
Then if I could follow up on questions, I believe, of both Justice Bradley and Justice Abrahamson earlier, how do you see the standard of review here?
It's complete. It's de novo. It's
complete de novo.
Yeah, that it has to be. They in order to exercise the powers under sub 8, they have to be able to, and to me, de novo means what are the facts that are presented, and are there additional facts? Bring them in if we decide that's appropriate. Now we're going to look at them, and we're going to decide what the answer should be. It's a trial, if you will, to the board. They're going to determine, take the elemental facts, make the determinations of ultimate fact, and then apply it to the ordinance.
That's not quite, I think, the question.
Okay.
You've got a committee decision and a committee record, right? Now we're looking for error, right? When you look for error, you're looking at just the record that comes to you. I mean, that's the position, I think, of Washburn County. So what deference do you give in reviewing, if any, in reviewing that record? You could say we review it independently, no deference. You could say what I understand the Board of Adjustment's position is, the Board of Adjustment views it under certiorari review. There are other alternatives for reviewing that paper record to discern error. And what's your position?
The board, it's a function of what the rules provide for at the zoning committee level. I think if the zoning committee, particularly with respect to people are there and they're speaking and credibility's at issue, I think the well-settled idea is that if that's happening at the zoning committee and the rules provide for it in a formal way at the zoning committee again, the board should not be redoing those kinds of credibility determinations. But if it's not, I think then part of my answer before, part of that then has to be that the board's going to open it up again and have that experience where they're going to hear people repeating some of the things they did at the zoning committee and then perhaps new stuff from challengers.
So your real position is this is a Washburn County case. It's governed by Washburn County ordinances and Washburn County Board of Adjustment rules and bylaws. And therefore, a decision of this court is only good in Washburn County and any of the counties that have the same rules, bylaws, and ordinances.
Technically, I think that's right. But if they don't, I think they would run afoul. If they don't have something that's substantially similar, they would run afoul of the statutes, which would require them.
And you think those ordinances, rules, and bylaws fit the statutes that talk about appeal?
I agree. Yes, I do.
Thank you, Counsel.
Thank you.
I want to thank Mr. Sincotta, Mr. Waterman, and Mr. Thiel for their excellent presentations this morning on powers of the County Board and Board of Adjustments dealing with conditional use permits. That concludes the hearing of 03-2194, Oster Hughes versus Board of Adjustment. We'll take a few moments break, and then the court will return. Thank you.